Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Morning, afternoon, and evening, everybody. This isn't Zofia. Unfortunately, he had to pull out last minute because the weather in Chennai isn't really good. He sent us some videos. They look a little worrying. Stay safe, Zof. But he had a message for you, Pras. 90 minutes of wood and a 69. Good weekend for you.
I didn't even need wood and I got a 69. That was the message. Well, firstly, stay safe, Zof, and everyone in Chennai and affected areas. So, you know, more time for you to stay indoors and watch the pod. You had a good week as well.
Yeah, I had a good week. And I just think it's a good season, just a fun season of FPL because there's so many options and things to think about. Everything is happening, you know, we're right in the middle of it. I'm happy that my brother's getting married at the end of the month, but 15th onwards, things are going to get really busy. And I'm just enjoying FPL. So I probably will have it in the background despite all of that happening. Good weekend. The blah 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 rubbish situation thing got quite viral. But I'm sitting here, I think 3 or 4 days later, still wanting Son as bad. He's the main transfer target for me. So here we are. Gordon keeps doing well for Zof.
Exactly.
Newcastle absolutely destroyed us, outplayed us. We didn't have a sniff, and things aren't looking good for the pod derby, in my opinion. I am not optimistic at all as a United fan. What about you, Pras?
I mean, it's the same. And it's been the same, I think, pretty much all season. We've had some elements of like a decent enough performance to eke out a clean sheet or something. But even against struggling teams, we hardly can score goals. We concede a lot of chances. So hope to get lucky, I guess, is the wire derby thing. But let's see. Always hopeful at Old Trafford. So you never know.
Right. And I think all three of us had decent weekend. 65 plus scores, I think, for all of us. Everybody did well. Let's get into it because there's a lot to cover and a little time. So we'll start with the sponsor clubs, plugs. As always, all the stats that you see on the podcast are from the Fantasy Football Scout members area, especially when it's crunched, you know, during the December period and there's a deadline every 2 or 3 days. You don't really have time to watch all the highlights, all the games. You want a quick recap, and that's when the members area just becomes really, really handy. It's something I rely on, especially in the December schedule. So if you aren't a member already, do click on the link in the description below.
And we've also partnered with NordVPN. So if you're bored of the streaming libraries available in your country, you can expand your selection using NordVPN with the click of a button. And there are over 5,000 server options available and no content is out of your reach. And also privacy, it's a big deal. And so Nord keeps your data encrypted and your IP address is hidden to ensure complete privacy while you're browsing the internet. And there is also a threat protection feature. So basically all the intrusive ads and the malware can be avoided. And even if you download the infected file, the threat protection kicks in and deletes it before it messes with your computer. So if you sign up using our created code, nordvpn.com/fplwire, it'll also be in the description. You get a huge discount off, plus 4 months additional for free. They have a 30-day money-back guarantee as well.
Nice. Now that that's out of the way, we had a I think it was Sokan in the chat asking me, we have LR quiet about Saka. I mean, I think that's a good place to start after the rant last week. But Arsenal clicked. What else can I say? You know, you guys said that.
Both in midweek and in the Premier League.
Both in midweek. My notifications blew up. In fact, before Saka scored at the weekend game, I actually mentioned on the Discord, you know what? Can't wait for Saka to score so that my notifications blew up. But I still potentially, maybe, small chance could sell him this week. That's where we are, because I just want Son that bad. I think Son's a better asset. But, you know, let's talk about what happened with the Arsenal game. Arsenal are in a better place now. Gabriel Jesus looks good, and he's making that team tick. But it's just not that. One thing that's changed significantly, in my opinion, is Odegaard's form. He's finally finding those passes. He's not hogging the shots that he did at the earlier part of the season, etc. as well. They are looking better. They're looking like they're clicking. I don't think he's essential, but he looks like a good pick. You have to acknowledge that Arsenal are looking better and better. Arteta probably saw the pod and said, you know what, I need to show these guys who are talking rubbish how to play attacking football. And yeah, that's where I'm. Where are you? What are your
thoughts? He is essential. You mean Saka, right? Not Odegaard.
Yeah. Saka.
Yeah, so I'm with you. Look, I think nothing has changed from our advice recently. At least Zoff and I, we were clear last week. He's a good pick. He's still a very good pick. I think Son is a better pick. I think there's no debate about it. I mean, at least in my mind, until we know or see that Son is not on penalties or rubbish at penalties, I think both are very, very good picks. And so for us, the question was, you can have both. So try to have both instead of having one or the other. Now, you've done well without Son. And this is the beauty of this season. We started the pod with this, saying there's been people without Haaland who've done very well, without Haaland who've done very badly. There's people without Son who've done well. Without Son, you know, is doable. But at some point, you have to say, look, there was a little bit of variance. There were three offside goals. There was an own goal. And then at some point, you say, I just have to get back.
It's not good for my heart, Ross. Whenever I'm watching Spurs, by the way, great second half performance. I think City absolutely battered them in the first half, but you know, Ange adjusted, and I thought it was a great performance in the second half. I just want to get him. I don't think I can do without him in this festive period is where I'm at. One thing actually, I'll track back to Arsenal, is something Achu pointed out, is that Arteta's changed how he's using his second eight next to Odegaard a little, where he's sort of playing as a support striker next to Gabriel Jesus, and he tends to get into a lot of goal-scoring positions, whether that was Kai midweek or whether that was Trossard at the weekend. So if, just you know, a thing that point out is, if there becomes a player that becomes nailed in this second eight position, who's given probably a slightly greater license to come into the box, that player becomes an option. At the moment, we don't really have a nailed player in that position, but something to monitor.
Yeah, it's going to be like Martinelli, Trossard, Havertz, kind of a two out of the three. Yeah. As far as what we're seeing, and Vieira is out at the moment. Even he got some games in that position, but I think it's likely going to be two out of those three. So I agree with you. And I think Odegaard, the other thing, again, Alex was mentioning in Discord, he was actually picking up the ball a lot deeper as well. So while he got the goal, counterintuitively, he himself isn't yet, at least small sample again, an FPL choice yet. But I think he makes others around him a better FPL choice.
I think, Pras, what might be a good idea to just... you want to actually talk about the rest periods and the yellow cards first? That's a little bit of sanity check that we can get out of the way.
Let's do that.
Yeah. So here we have the updated four yellow cards as well as three yellow cards. Just people you need to watch out for who are on four yellows, who are away from a suspension. A couple of things that happened during this week. Rodri and Grealish both got their fifth yellow card, so they will be not eligible to play against Aston Villa away, which I think works well for Ollie Watkins owners as well, because you're playing a City without Rodri, and City this season haven't won a game when Rodri hasn't featured. This happened earlier in the season as well, so wanted to mention that. Cash is on four yellows, Trippier is now on four yellows, Sterling's on four yellows. Any other notable names? Dean is on four yellows.
I mean, I'm getting nervous looking at this because there's a lot of cheap enablers also getting on three, four yellows, like Kabore people have, you know, basically, who are the, Ait Nouri, a lot of people I've seen having. So, yeah, I mean, this is going to creep up on people. And the closer it is to the blank, the more headaches it gives you because you have to deal with that. And if it actually coincides with Game Week 18, that's the worst case scenario.
And, let's quickly take on the rest periods. Anything of note that stands out to you, Pras?
So the only one, so if you go to the other slide, so this is obviously between 14 and 16, this one is the most important one, which is basically, these are the four fixtures where the difference in hours in terms of rest period is the highest. So essentially, Brentford and Sheffield United are the big beneficiaries of a higher rest than anybody else, which is basically 23 hours. So they've played a day before. So Brentford will go to Brighton having rested a day more. Sheffield United will play home to Liverpool. And we will talk about this fixture because there's a manager change finally in the Premier League. They will have a day extra rest. And again, Nottingham Forest will almost have a day. And then Man United, Chelsea is somewhat smaller than that, but that's 18 hours. Apart from this, everybody is in the middle of a crunch period. We've already seen this weekend, things happen unexpectedly. The Palmer injury just comes up after the deadline without knowing. Watkins suddenly magically heals himself and becomes okay. Bowen heals himself. This is going to happen a lot. So you're just going to have a lot of either pain of random benchings or people coming on and stopping your Charlie Taylor points, or the opposite, where you get some jam as long as you have a good bench and good players. So you should be thinking about 12 good players basically going forward.
I agree with you. I think squad is going to come into play, and it's very, very important in this December period. You need to have a good first sub. I'd say you need to have a good second sub as well. Just allows you a little bit of flexibility in this period. And it's something we need to start thinking about when we're thinking about a Muse, because now we have a couple of expensive defenders who are FPL options as well. I mean, Trippier was never not an FPL option, but we need to start thinking about Trippier and Trent, and maybe want to distribute some funds. I think, plus, what might be a good idea is let's go fixture by fixture here, see what the talking points are from the weekend about any of these teams. And if we want to move to the ticker for any of these teams, we can do that and we'll rotate between that.
Sure. And I've got some topics to discuss anyway. While we come to those teams, we can pick those up there.
Sounds good. Wolves versus Burnley. We mentioned on the pod last week as well that we were quite confident about playing a Burnley defenders versus Sheffield United, because we saw that performance that Burnley had against West Ham, where they dominate for 86 minutes. Burnley are an improving team, and Sheffield United are absolutely by far one of the worst teams the league has seen. They've been unfortunate with injuries as well, but it's just non-competitive. Whenever you see a Sheffield United fixture, I think you target them. Is a Burnley defender playable against Wolves? Not in my opinion.
I mean, not really. Wolves have got a goal in them. And I think if you, again, this is, by the way, from Rob T, you see on the chart here. Rob T FPL, which is amazing, right? I mean, again, we talked about it in the past. Underlying data, market spreads, these are like two unbiased friends that you have to tell you if you're thinking about close decisions. 1.7 expected goals for Wolves. I don't think Burnley defender is playable. Wolves have been actually decently attacking. I mean, the goal against Arsenal was a little bit Zinchenko's fault. I think that was a nailed on clean sheet, at least it looked to me, but Wolves are good for a goal. So I think the discussion is more, should you play a Hwang, or should you play an Aitnuri who could be fit? I don't know. So that's maybe more.
That's while we are on Hwang, I think, because a lot of people, I think, might move out of Diaby this week and might be in the market for a 5 to 6.5 million midfielder. I wrote an article covering this for the Scout last week, and at the point I started writing the article to the point I finished the article, one player really, really caught my eye, and that was Wang. He comes out on top when it comes to the goal threat, when it comes to the NPXGI data. He's got penalties as well. His expected minutes, he's probably one of the most important names on this team sheet. So you think he plays a lot of the games as well. Has a really good run of fixtures. Burnley and Forest at home, then West Ham away. Then they play Everton away in 20 as well. Just a good run of fixtures. Would you pick him? Let's just adjust it. He's competing with Gordon and Palmer. And I don't think Gibbs White is in competition, because I think these three are better picks. And then Brendan Johnson as well, who did well over the weekend. What's your ranking and how do you see this bracket?
Similar. I mean, to be honest, Hwang is a good pick, but Wolves are not as good a team. But he is hogging more chances from them than a Gordon from a Newcastle or even a Palmer from a Chelsea. So, and both Palmer and Hwang are on penalties. Gordon is not, but Gordon is in form. I just don't think there's much to split. And if you're choosing now, today, if you had to pick one, I still go back to Chelsea's fixtures are turning now. Gordon has good fixtures starting pretty much after this week, or in a couple of weeks after they play Spurs. But even the Spurs fixture is a good fixture. So I think you just take those two teams as better teams, and those are still better teams to target. And it's not like Hwang has a better game week 18 blank fixture, right? I mean, he still plays Chelsea at home, which is a decent defense.
Yeah. It's It's so I was writing this article and I was like, you know what? I still always look at Palmer and Gordon as better options compared to Wang, because we are sort of tuned to think that, you know, Wolves aren't that attacking. And I was then listening to FML FPL and Alon said a great thing. We almost need to wipe the slate clean when it comes to Wolves. Because when we're thinking of Wolves, we're thinking of the last two managers were dull, boring managers where they played dull defensive football. Wolves are hanging middle of the table for XG. Middle to top half of the table for XG. So maybe we need to remove that, because he's striker on penalties playing Burnley, Forest and Everton at home in the next six fixtures. So, you know, where earlier I would have said no, Palmer and Gordon are convincingly the better options. I think if you're feeling good about Wang, go for him. I don't mind it as a pick. Fair. Just one thing is that Asia Cup is coming soon. AFCON is coming soon. So if you have Mo, if you have Son and if you have Bumo, do you want to expose yourself with a fourth player being privy to that turnaround that happens around the game week 22nd mark? That is something you need to think about. And I think he's on four yellows as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Is Wang on four yellows? I'm not sure.
We'll update it. Just check how many yellow cards he's on, because I think he might be on four yellows. So
there you go. Yeah, he is actually. Good shout.
Yeah, he's on four yellows as well. So that could potentially become a problem very soon. You know, I think that sort of... Because people who are chasing upside are going to go looking at Burnley home and Forest home there. But I think Gordon and Palmer are the ways to go. Gordon, open play threat is great because of one big reason. Is that he's just at the back post for Trippier crosses. One of the best creators in the league. So that's the thing that's worked in his favour. And just looks incredible at the moment.
Just can't have six midfielders. That's the problem. But yeah, let's go to Arsenal-Luton. Luton-Arsenal.
Just before you that, you know, we'll rank them. So I think we are like, you know, despite whatever we spoke, given if your squad is in a healthy shape, you go for Wang if you can hold somebody with four yellow cards and if you don't have overcommitment to the AFCON and the Asia Cup guys. Otherwise, you pick one of Palmer or Gordon. I'm actually really interested in Brennan Johnson as well. You know, Ange Postecoglou mentioned in after the game that Brennan Johnson and Kulusevski is where he's expecting more of the goals to come from. And he thought, I thought BJ had a really good second half against City. So not against it, but I just still prefer the other two. That's where I'm.
Yep, I'm with, I'm same.
Right. Luton versus Arsenal. One important point, you know, Luton have been generally very good at home, but they have a lot more injury problems now. So if I'm not mistaken, Lockyer was subbed off with a potential injury problem. So was Tedden Mengi. And both of them have really been good in the centre-back setup. So they could have some mid-part centre-backs, which is one of the reasons you don't really sell a Saka, despite them playing Luton away. So one of the things that added on. Are any of Zinchenko, Tomiyasu or White picks? And if you hold any of the three of them, do you get rid of them because of the threat to...
Well, not in this game. I mean, I think Tomiyasu, by the way, got a little bit of a niggle. And we don't know if it's like a 2-week thing or a 4-week thing. So for now, I think White and Zinchenko are fine, even though there was some risk. Zinchenko has been poor. I mean, as an FPL pick, he's been good because he's getting attacking returns. But from a defensive point of view, people are actually attacking from the right-hand side to basically circumvent this Zinchenko false, you know, inverted fullback thing. He's slow to get back. And again, nothing against the team. They use him very well, but he is a weakness. And so there was a case of Tomiyasu coming into the team. But if he's out, for me, then that backline is fairly secure. I mean, you never know in midweek fixtures. So I would play my Arsenal defenders. They have the highest clean sheets order of 52% this week.
Yeah. Centre-backs is the way to go. If you own them, don't get rid right now. But I think you need to start thinking about getting rid of a Zinchenko if you own him. Because he doesn't, his nailed on, his minutes don't look good for this period. But
and after this week, they play Villa away. I don't see a clean sheet there. Brighton home. Again, Brighton have looked poor recently. We'll talk about Brighton. But again, not a clean sheet fixture necessarily. Liverpool away, definitely not a clean sheet fixture. So three games after Luton are non-clean sheet fixtures. So I'm sitting on double defense and I definitely plan to ship one next week.
That's good. That's good. And there are defender spots opening up. I mean, you've got Newcastle, you've got Chelsea as potential defender, and there's Poro. I think these are the three places you look if you want to move out of a double Arsenal defense next. Correct. I think if you own the two centre-backs, I don't think you need to press the panic button yet. That could come through at any point.
It could be. And by the way, next week, we'll talk about it. Next week, there's no team with a good clean sheet odds. Everyone has a bad clean sheet fixture. The only team with a good clean sheet fixture is actually Man City, which a lot of people will not go for Man City defenders. But you know, Wolves play Forest next week. Man City have a good fixture. Man United have a good fixture. So you can play Maguire at home to Bournemouth. But other than that, all the defenders have almost a, you know, you can't rely on the clean sheet.
Right. Russ, you want to throw in a like, subscribe plug early this time rather than saving it?
Please, yes. We always leave it for the end and people just switch out. Yeah, please, if you can, hit the like here. And we are trying to target, because we will be pushing a lot of content until the end of the year, 30,000 subscribers. We're I think 1,200, 300 away.
Yeah.
So if you are not subscribed, please do so. That would really help us out. There was also a video on Free Hit, which I completely forgot again in that Free Hit video to talk about, you know, subscribing. So that would be really, really helpful if people can do that.
And if that much content isn't enough, Zoff already did a video in the morning previewing the stats that happened in Game Week 14 as well. So we're not stopping with the content. And all we ask of you is to click a few buttons to support us. Right. Brighton versus Brentford. I think Brighton are just a no-go as an FPL option at the moment. Bumo gets, you know, I saw your tweet around the 60th minute mark when you said that, you know,
inevitable.
People who are new to the Bumo experience, the points come in the last 15, 20 minutes. That's when he gets his double returns. And as you would have it, got subbed off in the 78th minute. Do you read anything from it? There was a post-match comment from an Athletic reporter that said that was a planned sub. There is no injury worry. It's probably Frank being aware of the matches that are coming in, coming very quickly, and that's why the plaid sub happened. Outside of that, one other point is that Norgaard is suspended for this game because I think he got four yellows. So that's a big loss for... And Ayer is already a fitness doubt. So those are the two things that came to my mind. Outside of that,
yeah.
If you own Bumo, you play him. Respective.
Yeah, of course. I mean, look, I think this minutes, we need to reduce our minutes expectations for everyone. This includes Haaland, Salah, Bumo, Watkins, all the people who we think are 90 minutes men in this period. This is why it's the crunch period. This is why things happen in this period. Surprises will happen. So I think Bumo was part of that. But I think Baker made a point yesterday on Above Average FPL that there is now fit Wissa and Mopai. So there was no option earlier if you wanted to go two strikers in the last part of the game. You can do that with Wissa and Mopai. And now it's... So it's not every game it's a given that Mbeumo will go up top. Of course, people who've just got him will say, of course, that's my luck. You guys got all the points from Mbeumo going forward. But I think he'll still get enough time for him to be a good pick.
Question to you, Pras. If you haven't bought Mbeumo yet, do you think this is a good point to buy, or now you swerve and go elsewhere?
I think if you haven't bought, you have somebody like a Bowen or you have somebody like a Gordon who are all fine to keep. Now, the closer you get to the blank, the more you feel I'll just avoid him. Because also, until the Game Week 20 double isn't announced, you will think that maybe it's not getting announced. Maybe it's getting postponed. Maybe it's not 20, it's 21. And if it moves to 21, then Bumo misses that double. Even in 20, there's a likelihood he can miss the double. So if he's blanking in 18, not doubling in 20, and his Luton fixture is out of the way, it becomes more and more every single minute becomes a little bit like you can maybe avoid it.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. And there are options elsewhere as well. It's not like there are no options.
Correct. And we're not saying he's a bad pick. You can still get him. We're saying if you were inclined to avoid him, you could probably do that.
Yeah. I mean, the more every week passes closer to blank 18, the greater the reason you have to avoid him.
Correct.
Palace versus Bournemouth. I actually wanted to talk about Bournemouth because they've been finding some really good form in the last 3, 4, 5 weeks. You know, I think they outplayed Bournemouth, Aston Villa. They were really, really good against Aston Villa. That Absolutely. Might have to do with something with Emery persisting with Zaniolo as an option. But Semenyo and Solanke are clicking. Christie is doing really good in midfield. Like Solanke on pens, he should have potentially had 2 or 3 goals in this game. He's right up there. He's somebody I'm considering to bring in this week. He's a really, really good option for the December period. Again, you know, his expected minutes are high on penalties. And Bournemouth, you need to keep in mind that as a team are clicking. If you're also in the market for an 8th attacker, Semenyo's played about 70 minutes, 60 minutes in the last 3-4. Looks really, really good. He's only 4.6 million as things stand. Good 8th attacker to have in this congested fixture schedule as well.
He is probably the best third striker, cheap striker, if you don't want to play him. But he also has the AFCON issue, just FYI. But otherwise, Ooh. Yeah, I think he's a good pick.
Yeah, just one thing in terms of Semenyo, and I was talking to Baker in terms of potential moves as well. What he enables also, if you want to move with Semenyo as a seventh attacker, if you go for a Trippier or a Trent as a fourth defender, first defender, but if you start going premium in defense, somebody like a Semenyo enables that as well, if you want to go for the premium defender. So just food for thought for you guys in terms of strategy.
And Crystal Palace, so even though I'm not confident on a clean sheet, it's a home fixture. I've got Gehi. When I come to my team, I'll talk about it. Between Crystal Palace's clean sheet odds of 32% and Newcastle's clean sheet odds of 30%, I'm slightly favoring Crystal Palace, so Gehi at home. But I am conscious that Bournemouth is ever improving. And I think at Match of the Day also, they showed some stats over the last 3-4 games. They've completely turned it around. So I'm with you. Bournemouth are looking very sharp.
Yeah, and Palace are without two of their most important players as well. It was interesting. Did you see Hodgson's post-match comments in terms of...
Yeah, Eze wants to come back earlier and the medical team doesn't agree.
Yeah. I think maybe... But that tells us it's a week or two away, not as far away as we probably thought earlier.
Correct. But their fixtures are completely gone after this.
Yeah.
So if you have your Palace players after this week, then they're sell anyway.
Yep. Fulham versus Forest, your thoughts?
Difficult to call. I mean, a lot of people, obviously, as a Chris Wood owner, I'm watching, monitoring Nottingham Forest a lot. I think Baker also got on the Morgan Gibbs-White train. So there are a few people, you know, moving around with Forest players. They were very disappointing against Everton. The attack didn't click. The defense wasn't there. Mark Southerns has said a few times that he'd like to see maybe 5 at the back in certain games or be more attacking. They play basically a false 9, Morgan Gibbs-White, with Elanga and who's their guy? Hudson-Odoi on the other side. It's a team in flux and there's also pressure on the manager. So Forest, I think, is a little bit of a void FPL-wise, but even football-wise, I don't think there's a lot happening there and they could be trouble. So Fulham, I think, I'd back in this game.
Yeah, and Fulham generally have looked good. I thought their performance against Liverpool was really, really good. I mean, Liverpool needed... I mean, they had a 2.2 XG, but they were 4 worldies that went in on the day. And just one thing to note is that their fixtures turned really good. The thing is, now we have one of the best defensive teams in the league, have a 3.9 million goalkeeper. But if that wasn't the case and people were looking at an outlet for Areola, who's looked rubbish, Fulham's fixtures turned really, really good. They got Forest, West Ham at home, Newcastle away, Burnley at home, Bournemouth away. So the fixtures are looking good. But at the moment, there are better options across the pitch in other teams. Leno might have been an option if it wasn't for Dubravka.
Yeah, a lot of people who wildcarded recently have Leno as their main goalkeeper. I can see it, but again, I can also play devil's advocate looking at the fixtures and say Bournemouth away, they're not keeping a clean sheet.
Yeah.
Maybe Burnley at home, they will. Nottingham Forest, Nottingham Forest have over one expected goal. So it's okay. I mean, when you back a team in the bottom half, you need save points, which Leno is getting a lot. So I think that's the bigger appeal. And then the fixtures are basically a bonus.
Yep. Zoff is saying, except Wood, he always stands up and delivers.
I'm ignoring his Wood jokes in the chat.
Yeah, I mean, for those that are actually watching or listening, it might be a good idea to just replay the entire chat because it seems like it's rocking at the moment. Zoff's handling the chat, cooking up a storm like a city in the live chat area at the moment. Sheffield United versus Liverpool. I mean... I don't even know if you expect a new manager bounce because the players at Sheffield United's disposal are just poor in terms of quality.
And no time for the new manager anyway.
Yeah, so I comfortably keep your Liverpool assets, but I want to talk to you about two or three things. Is Trent Alexander-Arnold an option? He played as a slightly more advanced six in this game, scored 3 goals in his last 2 league games now. Do you prefer him to Trippier if you're going expensive?
No.
Yeah.
I still don't. Because, look, we've had a really nice period of good Liverpool fixtures for the last 7-8 game weeks now. And even in those very nice fixtures, he did all right. I mean, he didn't kind of pull up trees. I mean, he scored 2 worldies this week. And that doesn't change my perception of Trent. I mean, he's still a very good pick. He's the best defender pick at Liverpool. But Trippier gives you clean sheets, bread and butter clean sheets. I mean, look how Kelleher played. When you lose Alisson, the defense will suffer because Liverpool's model is take the ball to Salah, let him dribble. you guys in the midfield, you can come up, come join the attack. Trent, you can come join the attack. And then they're always exposed to counterattacks. And then how many times have we seen Alisson bail them out from a shot where there's a guy through on goal or somebody's basically has a clean through shot and Alisson just saves them. So I see Liverpool as a reduced clean sheet potential. I see also Liverpool as a team that's, whose fixtures are actually turning quite substantially, actually. So after this week, Sheffield United, you have Crystal Palace away, which again, without Eze, you can say, okay, maybe that's still a good clean sheet fixture. Then Man United, Arsenal, Newcastle, three of the next four. Now those are all three.
Man United is in the Sheffield United and Crystal Palace category. Pras, let's be honest about that. That's just the state of the club at the moment. We're terrible at the moment.
I mean, Sheffield United is a bit stretched. I know you're exaggerating, but it's not a clean sheet banker. I mean, it's still, you know, it's still a game where you, like this week, I'd expect Man United to score against Chelsea. So we're still okay. We still create chances. So what I'm trying to say is it's not the fixtures that we've seen in the past 6 weeks. So if he wasn't a great pick in the past 6 weeks, he's not an excellent pick that you have to get to. Also in the period that actually Newcastle's fixtures are about to turn. So why would you not pick a Trippier with great fixtures who basically gets three bonus every time he does anything?
The argument there is that, let's say you're building a squad and you're playing a value game. You have a Livramento at 4.3. You have a Lascelles at 4.0. You have a Dubravka at 3.9. You have a Gordon at the 5.6, 5.7 million bracket. So there are a lot of value-enabling picks in Newcastle, should you want to play that game and say that I'll chase the upside with Trent rather than Trippier. I agree that Trippier is a much better pick. But you have people that are offering value in the Newcastle. So should you choose to go down that route? Because there are, outside of Trippier, there are five good FPL picks from Newcastle United alone as well. So that is probably that the only reason why you can probably ignore Trippier. But
it's a case for it. But I would say Trippier outscores Trent by 20 points in the next 6 weeks. Or
I agree
8 weeks.
You.
Okay, let me give you a little bit more time.
Apples to apples, I agree. Trippier is the better pick, no doubt in my head. Like, he's the chief creator. He needs one return or no return sometimes to get bonus points. I'm with you on that. But, you know, again, if you're in the market, holding a Watkins, holding a Son and Saka and a Haaland and Salah is difficult to go there anyway. Just while we're balancing things out. If you had to compromise one of these attackers, who would you compromise?
I mean, for me, the order is still Son, Salah, Haaland, and then Saka, Watkins, and Trippier. So I've sacrificed Trippier for now. I don't see, you know, there was an opportunity to swerve Watkins this week. And I have to say, as we're talking about Liverpool, we have to talk about Watkins, Darwin. You know, a lot of people did that. I think it was a fine move. It's just a very unlucky or a very basically outcome with very high variance, because ultimately Darwin could have scored a brace, Watkins could have blanked or even been injured and been out of the game. And I don't think it was a bad move. But for now, now that I've decided to hold Watkins, I'm going to keep him. And there's no reason to switch him to a Trippier or anything else. His fixtures are good for the foreseeable after the next two.
Yeah, but even the next game, I wouldn't be surprised to see Villa score a goal or two, because they're playing a Man City without Rodri, without Grealish, and potentially without Doku as well, because he limped off. So there might be an injury issue is there as well. So, you know, that's something worth monitoring. Darwin Nunez, what do you think about his minutes against Sheffield United?
You tell me, man. You own him.
I think he's first choice, but I was always open to the idea of maybe losing him before Sheffield United, because I expect him to miss one of Sheffield United or Palace. But there is no way to comfortably say this, because he's still comfortably first choice. You know, the saying that Darwin could have braced has held true as an Darwin owner in the last five games. But this is what he tends to do, and he will explode. You know, I almost spoiler alert, I have to sell one of Watkins, Saka or Darwin to get Son in place, and I will get Son in place this week, so it's a difficult decision for me. The debate is that I've held on through him, with him since game week 10. He's going to explode. Do I lose him just before he's going to explode? Like, that's the question. He's going to explode. Like, you can't be, it's not like he's missing those chances far. He's hitting the post, right? So technically speaking, variance should do the trick and things should average out and those balls should go into the back of the net. And he makes Liverpool a better team. Like the last two goals that Liverpool scored, Darwin had a very important role to play in both the goals. You know, so that's also something in my head. I just think that if you're Klopp, you're thinking that if I had to rest Darwin for one game in the next few games, Sheffield United away is that game, because Crystal Palace, United, Arsenal are much more tougher games. So he probably wants to play as first choice striker in those games. So that's the one thing that I'm debating. If you're holding a Darwin, don't be surprised by 30 minutes this week is where I am.
Yeah, look, I don't disagree. I think one macro point, in game week 21, this whole thing of should we get a Darwin or a Watkins, or should we get a Saka, Trippier, even a Trent, is going to disappear. There's no Sun and there's no Saka. There's no Sun and there's no Salah. And so money is going to be flowing around. People. So what we have to sort of take out of your mind, even if you lose Darwin or even if you lose a Watkins, it's only for five game weeks. So almost for me, I think, and you've taken the right ticker here, after 20, everything is irrelevant what happens after 20. There is no template after game week 20 because we have no idea when the double is happening, which, we know already that the premiums are leaving. So everything that we need to decide right now, because money is tight, because we have Salah and all these other guys we've talked about, right now you have these tough decisions. After game week 20, there's no tough decision to make. Of course, there'll be other tougher decisions like Isak versus Darwin versus other things, but budget won't be a problem. So my point is, if you're losing a Darwin or a Watkins or a Saka, I don't think we should be that fixated on that haul is coming, because you can get back on them in game week 20. And the question is, who is getting you the more higher points in the next 5 weeks?
Cool. Anything else to cover from this game? Is Luis Diaz an option, in my opinion?
Tsimikas. A lot of people are debating Tsimikas. Should they start him or not? I would just start him.
Yeah, because if he does start, you're looking at a potential 12, 13, 14, 15 pointer in that game.
Yeah.
I think you start.
And him. You can argue that Sheffield United will sit back and, it's not like, he will probably want more security in the next game, which is Crystal Palace away, than in this game. So again, he could end up playing both games. But I would just think, if you have Tsimikas in your team, and why would you bench him against Sheffield United? If he cameos, you cameo.
I agree with the sentiment. And just by the way, outside of these, people that we are expecting to get cameos, there's going to be at least 2-3 surprises that are going to be sitting on the bench that you don't really expect, because that's just how things roll in December. So don't be too surprised if you get a few players they're expecting to start. Like somebody like a Salah could... I don't want to scaremonger with Salah. Somebody like a Watkins. No, Watkins is not going to play against City. It depends on the fixtures.
There is nobody who can miss out and you can say, I was surprised that he missed out.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anyone.
Especially with Liverpool against Sheffield United, because that's the easiest fixture that Klopp has in this run.
And the whole Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday.
Exactly. Villa versus City. How do you see this game? Fascinating game. I think Watkins is a good pick, good hold for this week as well. Haaland is a good hold, ban dependent. I don't see a ban happening personally. I thought City were really, really, really good. Absolutely battered Spurs in the first half. Haaland should have at least 2 or 3 more returns from that game. Outside of Haaland, Alvarez, I thought, had a good game.
Alvarez is good, yeah.
Yeah, he had a good game. Both are... I don't know if Alvarez is a comfortable hold, but he's never a hard sell. Especially, he's going to play because Grealish and Doku both look dicey for expected minutes. Aston Villa...
So Grealish is out and Doku has a niggle.
Exactly. Aston Villa, if you... get rid of Cash if you own him, I think, in my opinion, because not just he's got tough fixtures now, his minutes are questionable at the moment. He's no longer a nailed-on starting defender in that Villa defense. And the second thing is, I think same applies to Diaby, especially with Ramsey coming back as well and Bailey in good form. Diaby also could see early subs or missing the odd game. And I think there are better picks who are more nailed at the moment.
Yeah, I'm with you. So let's talk Watkins then. I mean, some people have held him. I don't think it's a good fixture, but it's Man City, right? I mean, let's say you have 2 free transfers now. I don't think taking him out for a couple of weeks and bringing him back. So I'm actually saying the opposite of what I did last week, where people did do it for Darwin. I don't think it's the end of the world. The logic doesn't have to be you have to keep Watkins. It's all about how well prepared you are for game week 18 when he's probably the best captain alongside Son. If you have the luxury of taking him out and bringing him back in for game week 18, absolutely fine. You could also do a scenario where, let's say Wilson was far away, right? I was actually looking at a move this where I would take Watkins to Isak. I would do Haaland to Watkins in game week 18. So I have Isak and Watkins as the two guys playing Luton and Sheffield United. And then I would take Isak out for back for Haaland. So basically like a long-term hokey-cokey between three players. So it's doable, but at the same time, I agree with everything that you're saying. Villa of expected goals of 1.25 against Man City is high. I mean, that's good. That means the markets are saying that Villa is good for a goal. Villa have scored over three goals in every single home game this season. So they are a good team. So I think there's no reason to take out Watkins, but also as a luxury move, if you wanted to think about it like other people did last week and it did not work out, it does not mean it will not work out in the future.
I'm thinking this week. I'm genuinely thinking about selling Watkins this week. We'll get to my dilemma later. But yeah, I think if you find a striker that you really like for 3 weeks, I think it's fine. As long as your team is healthy enough that you can comfortably get Watkins back in 18.
Agree. So I think Villa is easy, or we talked about. Like, let's talk about, I mean, you said Haaland, you don't think a ban is likely. I'm actually on the fence here. And I think it is enough of a concern for me to say I'm not touching any transfers until tomorrow, 1 hour before the deadline, because you never know what comes out of the press. You know, you never know if they're thinking about it. It could be zero. It could be just a fine. Because ultimately, we have a precedent. We have Van Dijk this season who got a red card and then he basically misbehaved and he got his ban added by one more day. So one more match. So it's not like it cannot happen at all. I do get the context that here this happened in a situation where the referee has made a blatant mistake. He should have just said played on. And he's made a mistake, but it still doesn't justify the behavior. Like, you know, I give you a genuine live example. I'm sitting with my kid and we're watching the game. And I had to mute it and I had to basically change the channel because the way he was giving absurdities to the referee, it's not appropriate. So I don't think getting a one-match ban is out of question.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is save your transfer if you can until Tuesday. Just see what comes out. Because if we're at such a critical period, where if he gets even a one-match ban, you're looking at him missing Luton and then blanking in game week 18, it completely could change the way you think about how you're maneuvering your squad around the blank and the ban. If he doesn't, then that's fine. Then you move around with your current strategy.
You don't think the ban gets announced before the Villa game?
I think it's too early. I mean, they will be sitting, discussing. They could also appeal it. So I don't think the Villa game is under threat. Again, we're guessing here.
Yeah.
But I think the Luton game could be.
Yeah. At any point, though, Erling Haaland is going to be a very short-term sell because all the fixtures around the blanks, etc. are incredible. You got Villa away, then you got Luton away, Crystal Palace at home. And then after the blank 18, you got Everton away and then Sheffield United at home. So whatever you do with Erling Haaland, it's going to be a very short-term sell. I think the macro point is to plan without thinking of selling him no matter what the situation is with the ban.
It could be as simple as if Haaland gets a one-match ban, and I keep having to caveat in case people join in the middle, we don't think he will get. There's a minuscule chance of it happening, but it could happen. It could mean that you upgrade your third striker. You have 8 good attackers, so you can bench him for 2 weeks rather than just that 1 week that you're thinking about. So it just would affect my transfer path enough for me to say I'm going to hold off on even the Dubravka move. And I'm going to wait. And that's where I am with the Haaland ban. Potential ban.
Just thinking, let's assume he gets banned. For example, against the Luton game. Then people might think of selling him before 18. Because then you're thinking about captaincy in game week 17. And Salah's got United at home. And that's just a good captaincy option.
And you can go... I mean, that's the other question. If he gets banned, you buy Alvarez.
Yeah.
Against Luton. And then you keep Alvarez on the bench. Now you have Alvarez already ready to go for the double if it happens. And then you buy Haaland in game week 19. So, like, there's so many alternatives. If he gets banned for 1 week, one game, 2 games, 0 games, it would change my transfers enough for me to say, I'm just going to wait and see how this pans out.
Yeah. Zoff is saying that he just questioned the competence of the referee, which he thinks doesn't warrant a ban, personally.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just seeing his purchase price and cost price isn't that different. So there's no value attached to Haaland at the moment. So that's an interesting point as well.
And you know, the closer we get to AFCON, the easier it is to buy back Haaland. You can say, okay, I'm going to miss one Burnley fixture for Salah in game week 20. I'll just sell Salah to get Haaland back as my third striker. So it will get much easier to get Haaland back than it has been in the past where we were all fixating on this Luton fixture. Now, let's hope nothing happens because this would be a massive advantage to people who sold Haaland because now they get everybody else to also either sell or bench Haaland for the blank and for the Game Week 16 fixture. So we'll see what happens. But I thought it was worth at least discussing that it would drastically change plans. So it's worth waiting for your transfers until at least tomorrow afternoon.
Tough, because I might, I'm 0.0 on a couple of moves. If there are any movers, I might have to make the change today. Let's see. United versus Chelsea. Pod derby. I think it's the first time in 4 years of podding with Zoff that I think Chelsea are clear favourites. I don't see a world in which United is favourite. We are not playing good football at the moment. The decisions that the managers making at the moment doesn't convince me either. I mean, playing Luke Shaw, and it's not even about the manager, man. Like, just let me have a little bit of a rant about how terrible we were against Newcastle. Rashford, yes. Marshall, and McTominay, they were passengers. Like, Rashford, you know, we were much better in Europe when we had Antony, and I'm saying Antony, a player like Antony and Garnacho playing on the wings showed a lot more than Rashford just refused. He was constantly just jogging throughout.
He was not bothering with Livramento.
He deserves to be put to the bench, and the other players who probably give more of a, you know, fuck, given a chance in the starting team is where I'm at. Play Menu, play Shaw at left back so that you have somebody who's capable of playing wing back right now, because Dalot and Van Bissaka are bang average in that position. It's just not looking good. You are remotely considering anything around United as an FPL asset at the moment, don't. If you own United players, get rid, except for Maguire, probably as the only one player who did really well against Newcastle and has been our best player last month is Harry Maguire. He can come out with his head held high, and the redemption arc's been great, but outside of that, it just doesn't look good at the moment.
It's the one transfer decision we've got right in ever since Ten Hag has joined, which is basically not selling Maguire to West Ham. It's been actually, he's been the savior. I completely agree. And we are very quick to sort of make jokes on him. He's been, his redemption arc has been amazing.
Yep. Chelsea though, we didn't get to see Nkunku. I was hoping to see what happens. Gallagher is not going to be playing this game. So you'd expect Palmer slots in, or maybe he plays Ugochukwu. I forgot his name. And he plays three midfielders. One of those things will happen. That said, I'm expecting Palmer to come back into this game. Mudrik did decently well, but nothing to say outside of that. Any of the CB's options, you reckon? Still?
No. I asked around. I don't think Colwill is the closest to being first choice. But again, Cucurella was out of this game, so we don't know. And I think, again, if you're going into a crunch period, if Colwill was this defender that gets you a headed goal every third, fourth game, and you know his XG is so high that it's worth the rotation risk, then fine. But I think as of right now, what we know from the team, good fixtures, but I don't think we can get any defenders. I mean, Sanchez is probably the only one.
And Sanchez also, he's not been good. He's been making some blunders, and there are better, cheaper keepers available at the moment. So I just don't think Sanchez is an option. I wouldn't be surprised if Sanchez is dropped at some point. So I'd be wary of bringing in a Sanchez as well. One question to you. I have Reece James and I'm starting him this week. But he almost feels like a trap that I walked into, in the sense that I see the fixtures ahead for Chelsea. And they read Everton away, Sheffield United home, Wolves away, Palace at home, Luton away. And they seem like fixtures that will go good. But I feel like Porro, Trippier are better defenders. But looking at those fixtures, I might hold on to Reece for a long period. I think reassess after Everton and Sheffield, until then hold.
I think there's not much difference between James and, I mean, if fitness is taken out of the equation, then I don't think there's much difference between Porro and James. Porro is more attacking, but I would say, as things stand, a worse defense. Chelsea has improved a lot in defense, and maybe James is not getting as far forward, but he does take some set pieces. I don't think there's much in it apart from price, and if it basically that 0.1, 0.2 that becomes critical at certain move iterations. But I think they're both similar good picks. I think I would even argue and say that because of the emergence of the cheap Newcastle guys, they're both probably better than Cher now.
Yeah.
Because you can get alternatives for Cher from the Livras and the Lascelles and the Dubravkas, which we will talk about.
Yeah.
But yes, Sterling also, tell me. I mean, I recently, now with the fixtures turning, you know, if we assume that he should be nailed, him and Palmer, people are debating between either the two or even a double up. Would you consider it?
I would consider it. I just want to see proof of one game in terms of what Poch is thinking when Nkunku comes in. Does he immediately come in place of Nico Jackson? Is he going to compromise one of the spots behind? That's the question. Like, I want to see one game in just even 30 minutes in terms of what Poch has in mind for Nkuku. And then you go there. Sterling's look good.
He's not even in the squad yet, right? Yeah. Was he? I mean, he wasn't even. So I just think, maybe I'm being skeptical, but I don't think we see him before game week 19, 18, 19. I mean, he may get cameos.
Yeah.
But you will see like cameos for 3-4 games before you actually get to see him starting, personally.
Yeah.
Nkunku.
Yeah, but I want to see what happens. Because there will be, and you know, Mudrik had a sharp game, etc. Sterling's first choice, though. He'll miss the odd game, as will every player that's first choice in this crunch period is where we are at with Sterling.
Correct, correct. Yeah. I mean, that was unfortunate with Palmer, though. I did want to complain.
Yeah.
Him getting that niggle after the deadline and then them getting a penalty while he's stripped and ready.
Yeah, that's bad luck.
Anyway,
that's just what happens. Yeah, you just have to move on. It's bad luck. I mean, feel sorry for owners. It really is bad luck. Nothing else you can say about that. It's still a good pick, Palmer, is where I am.
Absolutely. Yeah. They confirmed after the game. So, you know, like if somebody else is just benched, people just say, okay, they don't even ask the questions.
Yeah.
The fact that people ask the questions, Poch actually said, yeah, he had something and we wanted to be precautious. That tells me he's first choice. There's no doubt about it.
Yep. Cool. Everton versus Newcastle. I mean, Everton
talking points.
Everton have a lot of tough fixtures now, so none of their players are options in my opinion because they've got Newcastle, Chelsea, Spurs and City in four of the next five. So let's talk about Newcastle. A lot of good FPL picks. Is Dubravka an easy buy now? I mean, the context that we have now is just murmurs from ITK kind of fans, etc. is that Dubravka is going to be given the month to prove how well he does. Pope is out for 4 to 5 months is the confirmed news that we have from reliable journalists.
I mean, not from managers, but yeah, we think that is the case.
Yeah, and reliable journalists. You know, you're good for 3 to 4 months. They could go in the market for a new keeper early or mid-Jan, and that's Dubravka performance dependent. Like if Dubravka does really, really well in the next 4 or 5 weeks, the spot might be his. And I think the further you move away from game week 15, the lesser enticing a pick Dubravka becomes because you're going to think, what if a new keeper comes in January? Right. If you buy him now, I think he's a really, really good pick. One of the best picks in the game. You're getting a 3.9 million Newcastle United keeper. And I actually think Dubravka is a good keeper. He's had previous of being a good FPL option just by himself as well. Pope doesn't really have to make that many saves behind that defense anyway. So just a pie, in my opinion.
Yeah. I think, let me change the question. So actually, let's finish Dubravka first. So I agree with you. I think for the December period, he's a decent pick. And December period means six game weeks. So you get basically this game week 18 out of the way. You get your frustration out of Areola and see if there's grass is greener on the other side. All of that is good stuff.
And a good transition point also because Areola plays Spurs away. So it's the perfect time to make the switch in terms of fixture also.
Correct, correct, correct. So, but again, caveat, you're jumping into it is something which you're not yet sure with all the other things that are happening. So it is I would consider it a luxury transfer this week because next week they play Spurs, right? Spurs away. So in fact, next week I would ask people, if let's say those people who are holding Areola and Dubravka, I would probably play this guy, Areola next week instead of Dubravka. So basically, if you're making the move this week, you're doing it just for the Everton away fixture instead of a Spurs away.
Unless you're generating 0.3 million, getting rid of Areola for Dubravka.
Yeah, if you get rid of Areola, that has other risks.
Yeah.
The other risk there is that they sign somebody and now you have no keeper. You have to make a transfer.
Yeah.
So fair. But I'm saying if people aren't pressed for money, the more sensible move or the one that you don't have to sort of sell Areola is to sell Turner or Strakosha or whoever. And if you did that, you would probably play Areola next week. So it can wait for 2 weeks as well, is at least what I'm thinking. I may do it. If, let's say, tomorrow they say Haaland is fine, there's nothing, he's getting a £5,000 ban or a penalty or something, I might buy. And I think Zoff is in a similar boat. But we'll come to that when we talk about our team. So I think on Dubravka, that's the thing. There were some rumors today about De Gea. The thing with De Gea is he's a free agent. They can sign him now. But they will have to register him and they can only register new players by January. Now, they can get an exception. They can go to the Premier League and say, look, we've lost a keeper for months. Can you give us a special dispensation to register De Gea? It's not out of the question, but then they have two good keepers. So it's not likely that they get it or they would do that. But it's just something to keep in mind that it could happen that they sign a free agent and they somebody comes in. But base case, I am agreeing with you. He's safe for the next 7-8 game weeks, potentially for next 3 to 4 months. That is massive as an opportunity.
Yep. And you just pick, I think when it comes to Newcastle defenders, I think both of us are of the opinion that Gordon is one of the best picks in the 5.5 to 6 million price bracket. Trippier is the best premium defender. Never mind. Trippier is the best defender in the game. And yep. If your structure allows you to afford Trippier, go for it. If not, let's say you were in the market for a cheap enabler. Would you go Livramento or Lascelles as things stand?
I'm going Livramento still. Maybe it's a bias as an owner. Yeah. Because Botman is, this is in The Athletic today, that he is training with the first team.
Oh, wow.
That is big.
That's a big deal.
Whether he gets a reaction or not, or whether he's slowly brought into the team, that puts me off enough to say, I will need this Newcastle spot for game week 18 for sure. I mean, imagine you picking a defender, Newcastle is playing Luton, you don't have a bench because Haaland Mbeumo is sitting on your bench, and you end up also having Lascelles who's not starting anymore. For me, Livra is clear. Whether he gets a cameo, whether he misses some games from Hall, I have no doubt that will happen. But as of right now, I would still play Livramento over Lascelles.
Any mention in terms of contact training? No contact training. Training with the first team is huge. Like, I think that's huge. If he's in normal
with the first team.
I wouldn't. Then that would give me some pause before going for a Lascelles at the moment. Is where I am.
There's a few comments in the chat. People actually are getting a little bit of Dubravka FOMO and saying we have Lascelles as my third Newcastle, right? So, you know, for example, there's a super chat. He's saying I have Areola, Strakosha, Cher, Lascelles. And so what he's thinking is he'll need to sell. Or actually, he just wants to ask if getting triple Newcastle defense is a problem, which doesn't include Trippier, and he can't get to a Gordon. What do you think about that? Like, you're blocking out two of the best picks.
Absolutely no problem. I think that's fine. It's a season in which we have enough picks and attack going anyway. And Newcastle are one of the most reliable defenses in the league. I think probably them and Arsenal are the two most reliable defenses in the league. I have no problems if you're tripling up on Newcastle. They are legit. As long as Joe Linton and Bruno Guimaraes are fit and other starting midfielders ahead of that back four, I'm happy with anybody in that back four. And I think even triple is fine. It also,
I agree.
If you're going triple, I almost want to go Trippier, so that what you can do is if you have a cheapie and if you have a Trippier, you can play Trippier in all the games, and in the tough fixtures, you can bench your cheapie. And that's how you probably play. That is what I would do.
Yeah, I'm with you. Look, I would even say, you know, some people could be in a position where they get Dubravka, they get a share. So as long as you're not blocking yourself out of one off Gordon or Trippier, because I think they may be needed at some point. I think getting two is fine, and the third could be Gordon or Trippier. But there is a problem, right? I mean, if Dubravka becomes a problem in January, and then you really want Trippier because that's also the time when Salah goes, Son goes, you now have lots of money. But hey, you've already got Livramento, Dubravka, and Gordon. You have to actually sell one before you get to the other, also while selling Son and Salah. It's just something to think about, that you don't want to overcommit into these cheapos and then miss out on the best defender in the game.
As long as Dubravka isn't dropped, I think you're happy selling one of the outfielders to upgrade a player to Trippier is where I am.
Probably you would have to do that.
It's because of the number of options available, right? Like, why I'm saying we don't necessarily need to keep an attacking spot open for Gordon is because we've got so many options in midfield and striker. It's not like Gordon is the only player. We're sitting in an FPL world where there are 16, 17 good picks in attack. So you don't really need to, you know, think about this or that or this or that is where I am.
Yeah, I have less Gordon FOMO. Again, maybe wrongly, because I think I've been wrong on Gordon last 4-5 weeks. I keep putting him below Palmer, but he's the guy scoring every week. Maybe I'll be wrong in the future as well, but I have less FOMO on Gordon than I have for Trippier. That I don't want to have a Gordon, Livramento and a Dubravka, and I've basically blocked myself out of Trippier. I'm happier going Trippier, Livramento or Lascelles and Dubravka, where I've blocked myself out of Gordon and maybe I can live with it. Now, again, exception to this is if Wilson's injury is worse, you know, there are rumors that he comes back in a week, but maybe he doesn't come back. Then Isak is another one that
that's
you could regret not having.
Yeah, that's the big. But if you really think about the landscape, zoom out and look at the landscape, like, I feel like there are better replaceable options for your Newcastle players in attack than in defense. We're struggling to point out and pick out good defenders at the moment, which isn't the case with attackers, is where I am.
But after 21, that may change.
Change. Because you
don't have Son and Salah.
And then you want
And you don't have Son and Salah in your attack as your front seven.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I buy that point. I buy that point. Something to think about.
There are questions in the chat on Gordon. So guys, an important point. We will not get the Eddie Howe press conference. Not that he's helpful at all. But we will not get the press conferences for the games on Thursday. We're unlikely to, because those press conferences will happen on a Wednesday and the deadline is on a Tuesday. So effectively, your Spurs, your West Ham, your Newcastle and Everton press conferences, you won't hear anything. So you just have to go by what we know. And at the moment, we know that Gordon something was very minor. So I think you just play.
Okay, that's the question that he was asked. He's got all these players and he's looking at buying Dubravka and having triple.
I asked that question.
Yeah, that's the question, right? Cool. And thanks, Karmaya, for the love. Apparently, there's a lot of ladies showing love for you in the live chat as well. I'm curious to go back and see what Zoff has been up to in the live chat. Anyway, Spurs versus West Ham. You know, Baker was telling me that West Ham really, really hates Spurs and they always give them a tough time. But my memory of this fixture is always got goals. And it had goals even when there was a Conte and a Mourinho in the league. And now you've got Ange and you've got a West Ham defense that's much worse than a West Ham, Moyes West Ham defense that we've had in the 3-4 years. I feel like this is one of those games where previous doesn't really have that much importance because a lot has changed in terms of who's managing Spurs, what kind of players they have, and what kind of defensive players West Ham have, is where I'm at.
Yep, I'm with you. I think easily the Spurs games are the best games to watch this season in terms of as a neutral for entertainment, for goals. I think this is you know, already the markets expect over 3 goals in this game and that should be it. So people need to get on Sun if they have to.
I need to get on Sun. I'm getting Sun this week. You know what's happened with Sun, right? I've been a non-owner. I mean, there was the hat-trick of offside goals in the previous week. The team is creating chances for Son. He's in the center of the box and they're creating chances. There are pullbacks and crosses coming. And now what's happening is the likes of Brennan Johnson are able to find their man. The likes of Porter are able to find their man. So he's getting a lot. There's been so many chances where he's almost just like slid into the box and missed the ball by an inch. And that's not gone in. Or that header that he almost missed by an inch. He's due a hat trick. Like, I feel like the explosion is going to come any moment. And he's top 3 pick in the game. Get him at any cost is how I feel about Jungmin Son at the moment. Especially after that second half performance against City. I thought they were really, really good. Richarlison's back fit. I want to talk about a couple of other picks though. Brennan Johnson is a legit option as a 5.5 to 6 million option. But shout out to Jazzy. He's been in my ear about Kulusevski since 2 weeks from our cons chat. He's playing the advanced 8 Maddo role in this team now. And especially with Richarlison back, you know, he could play the wing. And Kulusevski continues to play this role. He's getting a lot of chances. He's getting a lot of good chances. He's creating a lot of chances. His numbers in that game against City were really, really good. Just monitor that space. A good punt to take because he's nailed on. His minutes don't look like a problem at all. He's not as good a pick wide as he is centrally. One more game of him being central and I think he's somebody we need to pay close attention to.
Agreed. I'm with you. I mean, if he wasn't problem is midfielders have like a very high bar to reach.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking of midfielders playing 90 minutes, getting chances and on penalties. Yeah. So, but I think in isolation, I completely agree with you. And I think the other guy to talk about is Poro, right? A lot of people have cash. They kept cash. They didn't move him last week.
Yeah.
This week, I think Poro is a good exit.
Yeah. I think if you're buying a defender this week, you swerve Arsenal, you go Poro, Chelsea or Newcastle.
Yeah. I mean, of the three, I would say Poro higher. Yeah. Now, again, a point Baker made yesterday is Lo Celso did take some set pieces off Poro, but Poro still took a lot. So he's still a good creator. I mean, you know, it's the way even Pep said before the game, right? You know, they asked in the journalist that, you know, Postecoglou made this joke that I just copy Pep. And Pep said, actually, yeah, you know, he was kidding. The way he does his inverted fullbacks, they're actually attacking midfielders. And this was Pep's quote. So he's basically got attacking midfielders in Odogwu and Poro. Odogwu is on 4 yellows. Otherwise, he would also be an okay pick. But Poro is clearly the
Poro's just clearly the better pick. He's just the better pick. And Romero's back now. So that defense does become a little better. Spurs in general as a team become better. They don't have to pay Emerson Royal now. So again, that's one point as well.
And Richarlison, like you mentioned.
Yeah. Things are looking good at Spurs, man. Exciting times to be a Spurs fan. West Ham.
One win in four, though. But, you know, that's what it is. It's still entertaining football.
Yeah, and it's the thing is...
1 point in four, not even one win.
The thing is that FPL and real life are two separate things. And like he's basically Bielsa on steroids because he's got better players at the moment. That's what Ange Postecoglou is. West Ham, what do you do if you own a Jared Bowen? Things are not looking good. And Kudus has scored 6 goals now this season. Where are you at with them?
Actually, bad news because he'll keep get playing on the left, which is, on the right, which also Bowen loves to do.
Yeah.
And because they're not happy with Antonio, Bowen will have to play up top where he had one shot on target, basically, which was the 90th minute, which was close, by the way. That header was pretty close.
Very close.
But, and had he scored that, we would be talking something completely different. I still think he's a good pick. You can hold him. But it's concerning. If he plays more minutes in the middle, then you're looking at more headed chances than his classic cut back and shoot. So it's a little bit of a concern, but not enough for you to waste a transfer on moving him now. I mean, he's got decent fixtures even after this.
Yeah, and Spurs is a good game for your attackers. We saw with City. They don't give a fuck about defending at the moment, which suits Jared Bowen's counter-attacking threat, is where I am. Cool. Areola, if you find an option to make that luxury move to any other keeper, just the West Ham defense isn't looking good at the moment. Any idea how long Zuma's out for? When they played with Mavropa?
No, I haven't even clocked that.
Yeah, he didn't play the game. Mavropa not played, so that's also something to monitor.
And he made the... No, was he the one who made the mistake? Or Edward?
I think that was him. Yeah, I think that was him. Question, we have got another super chat. Karmanya is asking, Son in for Martinelli? Resounding yes. Just get Son in. Just the better pick.
Even though it's Luton? Because it's exact money, you might...
No.
You might do it.
Whatever it is. Because you're always going to have to sell a good player to get Son in. But Son is better than anybody else except Haaland and Salah. So get Son in. That's where I am.
Before you go to teams, another plea for likes, please. I mean, there's about 900 people watching. If you can like the video, that would help us out. It's a very short turnaround, so it would help us out if you can like.
And we'll be back either Thursday or Friday in time for the next game week deadline as well. We're not stopping our content at the moment. So, you know,
indeed,
show us like support with a like and subscribe. And if you also like to support us and become a part of our Discord where the conversation is running nonstop, you can become a member on YouTube or support us on Patreon at patreon.com/thefplwire. Get in there. Just need to pay a little bit, like almost like a cup of coffee or a pint of beer a month, and you're in there. Is where, yeah. Bus teams, I think that's you first, Pras.
That's me first, yeah. So, Areola. So, as I mentioned, I think by tomorrow afternoon, if one way or the other we hear a little bit about Haaland, and I'm not trying to blow it up, but this is just how I think, so I have to share it. I will wait for any Haaland news. I am tempted to do Strakosha to Dubravka because, frankly, next week I don't see many transfers for this team, even though Arsenal play Villa. Like I said, all defenders have bad fixtures. So I might do that. But other than that, I think I'm going to be cautious midweek. Lots of games coming thick and fast. Injuries come in. So I will be more cautious than needed. This is why I didn't do the Watkins to Darwin. I think it was a fantastic move for people who did it. It didn't work out. But I was just being conservative. And I think this time of the year, historically, I've always been a little bit more conservative with transfers. Only do something that I have huge conviction on, like buying Mbeumo or something like that, because I know I will not start to panic in 2 weeks if things don't work out. So that's my mentality. So reading out my team fully, Areola, Gabriel,
how many
Saliba,
free transfers?
And Gehi. One.
And how much cash?
Not much, like 0.3 or something.
Okay.
So defense happy with this week. I guess I will debate between Gehi and Livramento, but I'm at the moment leaning on Gehi. Midfield is Palmer, Saka, Son, Salah, captain, Mbeumo, and then Haaland and Watkins up top. Again, was mild temptation to do Watkins to Isak if there was no Wilson news, but I hear that Wilson is coming back sooner than expected. So I'll just keep Watkins. That's me.
My advice would be to play Livramento.
Over Gehi?
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. I'm debating it. I might get there.
Bournemouth are clicking at the moment. And new, like the difference in team strength between Bournemouth and Palace is smaller than the team strength, difference of team strength between a Newcastle and Everton is how I see it. And even though Newcastle might, you'd say that Newcastle have slightly better odds for clean sheets, Livramento has way higher odds for attacking returns, is how I say it.
But the minutes concern is there, right? Yeah, If this was Cher, I would definitely play Cher over Gehi.
Yeah.
So I have to weigh not only the clean sheet odds, but that small chance, you know, he played Paris, he played Man United. Is this the game where he says, okay, I'm going to play Lewis Hall? That's also what I'm trying to sort of take into account.
Just to play devil's advocate, the last time he did play Lewis Hall, they didn't really do too well also. So that's something you take into account in terms of first choice now. I think the spot is his now. I agree that the minutes concern is that. I'll tell you that. Cool. This is my team. I'll read it out. I've got Areola. Okay, one second. Let's do the little bit of captaincy chat. Nailed on Salah for you?
Nailed on. Unless Klopp comes tomorrow and starts saying things that we don't expect him to say in the press conference. There was no debate. I mean, even though Villa's defense is not watertight and West Ham's isn't, and my vice captain is actually Son, I just think Salah is that far ahead that even if he gets reduced minutes, and by reduced, I mean like 78 minutes or something, he's still clear.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I'm with you on Haaland as well, because City minus Rodri and Grealish and maybe Doku, give me a little pause in terms of that game could be very open and Haaland could enjoy the high line, but they could also not do that well against Villa, who are very good at home. I think Salah is the better pick. In fact, and I'm with you. I prefer Son to Haaland as a captaincy pick this week as well. So, yeah. Okay, my team has got Areola, James, Gabriel, Livramento. I'm playing James ahead of Maguire because Chelsea are the team in better form and James has much more substantial attacking threat compared to Maguire.
You've got to keep club loyalties out. I agree with you.
Club loyalties out. I mean, that performance against Newcastle tells you all you need to know about a club at the moment. Diaby, Salah, Saka, Bumo, Watkins, Haaland, and Darwin. Now, I need to find a way to get Son in. And there are two or three routes that I've thought of. One is Saka and Diaby to Son and any midfielder up to 6.6 million. But looking at what Luton's defensive status is at the moment, it's giving me a little pause. And the 6.6, up to 6.6, I probably just go for a Palmer or a Gordon in that spot at the moment. The other option is to sacrifice Watkins. So the move would look like Diaby, Watkins. And if I just do Diaby and Watkins to Son, then I have a 5.4 million striker to get. I wouldn't buy, there's no good 5.4 million striker to get. I probably get in a Semenyo and then figure what to do with the Makati spot next week, or see that as funds that I'm churning for a Trippier move in the future, for example, so that I start playing four defenders. That's one option. But the option that I like the most at the moment is Areola, Diaby and Watkins to Dubravka, Son and Solanke. I think Solanke is a really, really good pick, especially for in December on pens. Nailed on 90-minute man. Looks like Bournemouth are clicking at the moment. So that's one of the things I have in my mind. I can potentially sell Darwin as well. But if I sell Darwin, I need to again get Semenyo in place instead of a Solanke. So the replaceable asset, whether I sell Watkins or Darwin, the difference in quality of the replaceable asset, like I'm happy holding a Solanke throughout. That's the thing that's proving to be a big difference.
How will you get Watkins back for Game Week 18?
Darwin.
But you'll need like 0.6, 0.7. So if you spend that money with Trippier.
Yeah. If I spend that money.
How will you get him back?
Like, I'm somebody who doesn't bother. I feel like Darwin and Watkins.
You remember, Game Week 10 wildcard, I asked you how will you get Son back? Yeah. And you were like, I'll figure it out. We are figuring it out now. I'm asking you the next one.
Yeah. Same answer. I'm figuring it out now. It's a tough decision to make and I'll figure it out then. Because I think 0.6, 0.7 I can churn out. I have to compromise on one asset somewhere and I'll do it then is where I am. Which route do you like? I even thought of there was a James, Diaby and Darwin to a Solanke, Son and a 4.3 million defender also as an option, which sort of opened up to me.
That defense then looks really ropey, right?
Yeah.
Taylor, Maguire, Livra, 4.3, like Lascelles, I guess.
And that's a proper downgrade. In my head, Areola to Dubravka is an upgrade. So that's where I am. The good asset that I'm compromising is Watkins, but I'm getting Solanke, Son and Dubravka in place. For a -4, I have two free transfers.
So I think, look, Solanke is basically to the forwards is what Mbeumo is to the midfielders.
Yeah.
It's a fish and chips forward pick where he will get minutes, penalties. By the way, Bournemouth has not had a penalty since beginning of last season.
Yeah.
Poor guys are due a penalty, but he is on penalties and you get 90 minutes and their attack is improving. So he could turn out to be a fantastic pick. Like people could be downgrading Darwin to Solanke in a couple of weeks.
Exactly.
So I think it's a great pick. My concern is, as I mentioned to you on WhatsApp, like if Dubravka loses his place in game week 21 or they sign someone, then game week 21, you'll be dealing with Mbeumo, Son, Salah, goalkeeper. That's when it basically becomes like a minus eight territory. Yeah. But again, you'll figure it out.
Yeah. I'll check what the price rises look like later tonight. But if the players I want to sell and the players I want to buy are not moving in price, then I want to be as late as possible in case any Darwin news emerges. Because if it comes out that Darwin is not going to be starting this game week, then I'd much rather sell him is where I'm at. That's all.
Even Haaland news, man. I mean, you do Haaland to Alvarez and McAtee to Son and you're laughing.
Yeah.
And then you do unwind by selling Salah in game week 19 and you get Haaland back for Darwin. Yeah. So there's lots of routes just that one news can provide.
I'd probably still sell Haaland for Solanke, I think, because he's a better long-term pick is where I am.
Yeah.
Thoughts? I'll think about Alvarez. I hadn't thought about him until we spoke on the pod today. Zoff, he mentioned it's either a save for him or a move that enables Dubravka is what he's looking at.
He's doing Dubravka. He's started Turner. That means he's already dreaming of that spot as a Dubravka spot.
Yeah. So that's where Zoff is. He's got one of the most teams looking.
Well, let me read out his team. So Turner, Porro, Tsimikas, Gabriel, and then in midfield, Salah, San, Saka, Gordon, Mbeumo. This is like right now in terms of form, this is the midfield to have. I mean, I have Palmer instead of Gordon. But the way Gordon is playing, you know, you wish you had Gordon instead. And then Haaland and then Darwin. And I think, his bench is fine. He's not dealing with cash this week, it looks like.
Yeah.
It's just going to be either a save or Turner to Dubravka.
Yeah. And we still have a lot of news to come, right? So a lot can change in a period of 24 hours at the moment. So we don't know what
correct,
a move's like.
Correct.
Zoff is somebody who tweets his team out before deadline as well. So follow him on Twitter and figure out what he's up to. That's it from us this week. Pretty smooth. I was quite happy
pretty
with how that turned out. I was panicking because Zoff just told us about 15 minutes before the pod that he's probably not going to be hosting because Chennai weather looks really, really bad. Want to do a few questions or I think it's a short turnaround. Let's get out of here.
I think 1 hour, 15 minutes. I mean, send us questions on Discord, obviously, for the ones that are there.
Yeah.
But otherwise, just on Twitter or whatever, we can answer them.
Cool. Don't forget to hit like or subscribe. Thank you so much for being with us. And we'll see you Thursday or Friday. Take care, guys. Good luck.
See you.
Sports Social Podcast Network.